Now, that's a good point. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, that's the older priest, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Now if you stop there, that's a wonderful story, and in some ways you can apply it to your life, but not completely if you put it in its context. So let's, for the sake of time, you ought to read it all, but go to verse 16 for the sake of time. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. He got all of it back. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every ring, every earring, he got every bit of it back. And he killed everybody except for those young men that got away on those camels. Now, God told him to do that. God told him, and God gave him success. Amen. Now, you got to go back. Why was David that? Why was David not in Israel? Go back to chapter 27, verse 1. Chapter 27, verse 1. You really, like I said, you really have to read the whole chapters of 27, 28, 29, 30 to understand even this story. And it'll shock you how many people don't read the Bible. They just pick out verses. So read the whole thing this week. Make that a priority in your life to read this. Verse 1 of chapter 27. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. Number one, David was out of the will of God. Now you know the story. God, that Israel said, we want a king like everybody else has got one. So God gave him Saul. He gave him something they really didn't need. He said he's going to make your sons into slaves and your soldiers, and he's going to make your daughters into servants, and he's going to take your land. And so God gave them Saul. And immediately, almost immediately, Saul thought he was more than he really was, and he tried to make an offering in the place of the high priest, and God rejected his offering and judged him for doing something he wasn't supposed to do. And we would have thought that was a good thing. They were about to go to battle. The priest wasn't there. So Saul just jumps up and he makes the offering. And God says, that's not your job. I didn't call you to do that. And because you did that, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And I'm going to take you off your throne. Well, long after that, God sent the prophet down there. And little David found little David, anointed him as king. While he was still young, the prophet anointed him. Then later on, when he was a little bit older, they had an official anointed by the prophet as king. But David refused to take the throne. He said, I won't take the throne as long as there's a king on it. God put Saul on that throne. I will not touch God's anointed. If God wants him off, God will take him off. I will not go against God's man. And David ran because Saul was jealous of David and wanted to kill him because he knew God had given him the throne. So he figured he'd kill him and he wouldn't get the throne. So you know the story. For years, David hid out. He ended up with a band of 600 powerful, mighty warriors, you know, and then their families came. And so he had a big following. And several times he could have killed Saul, but he refused to do it. because he said, I won't do it. God will have to do that. I won't do it. And so now he's gotten to the point and he says, well, I've run everywhere I know how to run. He's deceived me over and over and said he wouldn't kill me and then tried to. So the only way I know to get away from him is go down into the land of the Philistines and live there. Now you got to remember, the Philistines were mortal enemies of Israel. They hated the Israelis, and the Israelis hated them. You remember Samson? His whole life was about killing Philistines. And so now he's down there with the Philistines. Now when he gets down there, he makes friends with a king there. And he goes to that king. He says, I'll be your servant if you'll just let me and my people live in your land. I'll serve you as long as I live here. I'll be faithful to you and you can trust me. And then several times he went to battle with that Philistine king and destroyed the enemies of the Philistines. God blessed him everywhere he went. God blessed him. Excuse me. But he was out of the will of God. He shouldn't have been there. See, he quit trusting God when he left Israel. Now he began to trust that king and himself. He's taking himself out of the will of God, and God's still taking care of him. God's still blessing him, but he's in the wrong place. And we do that sometimes too.
Amen.
He thinks he's doing right. He's not doing right. And now the Philistines, all the kings of the Philistines are getting together and they're going to go read chapter 27, 28, 29. All the kings of the Philistines are getting together and some others and they're going to go fight Israel. And David tells his friend, I'm right beside you. He says, I'm your servant. You let me live here, me and my people. We'll fight with you. Well, the other kings look at it and say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is the guy they sang songs about over in Israel. This is one that said, Saul's killed thousands, but David's killed tens of thousands. We don't want him with us because we're afraid that if he starts fighting with us, he'll look over there at his people that we're fighting and he'll feel allegiance to them and he'll turn on us and kill us. So they sent him back to Ziklag, where he was living, him and his people. Well, they'd been doing a lot of fighting. They were tired and they were wore out. And by the time they got there, these people had come in and destroyed. Now, Ziklag was a Philistine city. It wasn't an Israeli city. They just let them live there. And it had been ransacked and everything in it had been taken. And all the women and all the children were taken away and all the men were killed. So guess what? They were a long way from home. They were tired. They didn't think they could fight anymore. They were so tired. And his men looked at him and said, we just ought to kill you. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be in this mess. That's what they did. And the Bible says, as we were just reading, that David encouraged himself in the Lord. In other words, he went to the Lord. And he got close to God again. And then he said, now God, should we go get our children? Should we go get our wives? Should we go get our stuff back? And God said, you go. You're going to get it all. Every bit of it, I'm going to give it back to you. And so he did. But I want you to notice in verse 4, in chapter 30, look at verse 4. In verse 4, it says, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. He has gotten him and those people in such a situation that now their heart is so broken, they've wept and cried until they can weep and cry no more. You ever been there?
Yes, Lord.
Well, I have.
Yes.
I've wept until my tears were gone. There was no more tears. The glands must have been dry. I wept until I couldn't do nothing but just lay on the floor and groan, oh God, oh God, oh God. And that's where these people were, these men. The women were off with these heathens. The children were off. They were going to be slaves and sex slaves and working slaves and everything else. And they weren't going to be treated nicely. And all these men laid on their faces and wept and wept and wept. But something happened to David in chapter 6. He was greatly distressed, it says, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
I think David come to the point where he realized, I'm out of where I ought to be. I've lost every friend I had. I've lost my family. I've lost my fortune. I've lost friendship. I've lost everything. And these people want to kill me. I have nobody left. So where else could he go? To the Lord.
Amen.
And he got right with God. And God said, okay, get up and go. I'm going to give it to you. Now, y'all got to remember, these men had traveled, hadn't slept in many nights, hadn't eaten well. They were tired. They'd been out battling, and they came home to rest, but they didn't get the rest. And now they wept and cried all night, and they still haven't rested, and they still haven't slept. And now when God lets them go, they follow David, and listen, they still don't sleep, and they still don't eat. And God gives them strength, and God gives them the victory. But the reason that David could encourage himself was because of the promises of God. Now, a lot of people have made me promises over the year, and I'll just go ahead and tell you, most people that make you promises don't keep them.
Amen.
And the Bible even says it's better not to make a promise than to make one and break it.
Yeah.
And can you imagine all the promises that these men had broken to David, and now where else can he go but to the Lord? And I'm going to tell you something else too. It was good for him. It was good for him. See, we don't want any pain. We don't want to cry. We don't want to hurt. We know all things work together for the good of them that love God. We know that. But we don't like all things. We only like the good things that make good things. Amen? We don't like all things. I don't like to cry. I don't like to hurt. I don't like to lay in the bed at night and can't sleep because I'm worrying or stressed or brokenhearted. I don't like that. But God's promised that those things are good for me. Sometimes it's good for me. Now here's David. He's lost everything, but it's good for him. And I'm going to tell you something. Watch out, Christians, because when we get way up here, he can take everything away from you and make it good for you. But you won't like it. You think David separated himself that day and said, oh boy, I get to pray and talk to God. Oh, I'm just so happy. No, sir. He crawled over to the throne of grace of God.
Yes.
He encouraged himself. Now, I know that preacher said that he got back everything that they stole from him, but I've got news for you. He encouraged himself. And just because he got that stuff, he encouraged himself before he got the stuff back. And if you're waiting for the results to end the way you want them to end before you get encouraged, you're going to be disappointed all your life. Because most of the time, things are not going to end the way you wanted them to end. But you encourage yourself anyway. You say, God's been good to me. God saved me. God keeps me. God preserves me. God supplies my needs. He whips me when I need a whipping. He pets me when I need petting. He's promised never to leave me nor forsake me. He's never let me down, though I've let him down many times. He's never let me down. And that's encouraging yourself in the Lord. And you can't get somebody else to do that. Only you can do that, see. Boy, I've walked in churches before just as low. I felt like an ant hanging his feet off the side of a razor blade or something. I said, low. And walk in there and look for a preacher to encourage me and leave just as discouraged as when I went in.
Come on now.
Boy, famous preacher. I'm going to go hear him, and boy, he's going to lift me up, and I'm going to be encouraged. Well, what I should have done was encourage myself in the Lord before I went in. See?
Amen.
Instead, I was looking for some man to encourage me. Some of these women and girls run around looking for some man to make their dreams come true. You better watch out. Amen. You better look to the Lord for your dreams. Amen. You better encourage yourself in the Lord instead of Romeo. And some of these men, it don't take nothing but a pair of stretch pants some of these men run off after some woman thinking she's going to encourage him for the rest of her life. In about 10 years, that's going to look like two sacks of cottage cheese running across that. You're going to say, what did I get into? Amen. You better encourage yourself with the wife of your youth. Amen. I told my wife the other day, I said, you know, people can't believe you that you're 62 years old. She said, I said, no, they're telling you the truth. You don't look like you're 62. And I said, you don't look a day over 61. But he encouraged himself, remembering the promises of God. God had never let him down, not one time. God, now he had let God down many times. Even David, one of the greatest people ever walked on planet Earth, let God down if you can let him down. I don't think you can disappoint God. I think God knows what you're going to do before you get there and do it. You're not shocking God, but as far as what you thought about letting God down, you'll do it. You'll do it. Wow. Yeah. Of all the people, David. And then look at verse 8. In verse 8, he didn't just jump up and get on his horse like these guys wanted him to do. Look at verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? He sought direction. He sought direction from the Lord. You know how most people do it? They'll have some tragedy, something happen, and they'll go around, they'll take a survey from everybody they know. And the people that they know, we don't know they're taking a survey. They'll ask you a question, they'll tell you what, and then they say, well, what would you do? And then they'll go over here and they'll tell you the same story. And they say, well, what would you do? And it fails them somewhere along the line to ask the best friend they've got what to do.
Amen. Yeah.
I tell people, I say, I don't know what I'd do. People come to me, they want all kind of answers. Well, the pastor, he knows everything. No, I don't. No, I don't. I tell people, I say, I don't know what to tell you to do. Pray. Seek God.
Amen.
Look for an open door. Look for God to do something. Wait on the Lord. And I always say, I had a young man sitting, the ladies was finishing up their meeting. The young man came in. We sat back there at the back talking. And he was wanting to know what to do. And I told him those things. And then I said, I'll tell you what not to do. He said, what? I said, don't jump in there and do anything. Wait on the Lord.
Amen.
I said, if God is moving what you say in your life, you'll know it. Something will happen. A scripture will be read. A sermon will be preached. A Sunday school lesson will be taught. You'll be reading the Bible or something, and God will speak to you, and a light will come on, a bell will ring. Something will happen that you'll know what God's perfect will is. You wait on the Lord.
Amen.
But I love him, Pastor, and we're going to get married. He's going to hell. He's lost. You can't trust him. And he's handsome. A handsome devil. That's what we used to call him. Amen? I'd rather you marry some old ugly scoundrel lived under a bridge in the will of God than to marry the best looking man in town, not pray and wait on the Lord about it.
Amen.
Amen. Well, she's pretty. Beauty fades. Beauty fades. And so I better go and tell her some heads wagging at me. Right? But he sought the Lord's direction. Now listen to me. We have this maybe. We don't even know. We don't even know there's an opportunity with that building out there. They initiated it. And so whatever happens is up to them. You know, if they follow the Lord's direction, I believe they'll do it. But not everybody follows the Lord's direction.
Right.
They may not want to. They may let it sit there and rot. I could take three or four buildings in town. Used to be beautiful churches. They're sitting around rotting and right now, mostly empty. They may not. So what we have to do is we follow the Lord's direction. And that young man said, well, what am I supposed to do, Pastor? I said, well, let me tell you what you know to do. He said, what's that? I said, well, you know that you're saved, right? He said, yeah, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I said, okay. You know you need to read the Bible every day. He said, yep. I said, you know you're supposed to pray every day. Yep. I said, you know you're supposed to live a clean life. Yep. I said, you know you're supposed to not forsake the assembling ourselves together. You ought to go to church. Yep. I said, other than that, just pray and wait.
Amen.
I'm afraid we kicked too many doors down.
That's right.
I've done. Whereas we just waited, the Lord would open a better door.
Amen.
So David sought the Lord. He didn't do a survey. They do surveys now to start churches.
Yeah.
It don't matter what people want. What does God want? You know.
You
they didn't call Dr. Phil. He's a joke. They didn't call Oprah. I used to call her Okra. But I didn't want to curse the fruit that man.
He sought the Lord's direction. And when he did that, you know what happened?
He received an answer. And then when he received an answer, he moved. He didn't doubt it. He knew God told him to do it. So he just got up and did it. He was tired. He was sleepy. He was hungry. But God said go. And he got up and he went. Now, because he got right with God, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Because he sought the Lord in prayer and in spirit, and because he was obedient to God's orders, 100%, he got up and he went, and they retrieved, they defeated the enemy, they retrieved wives, children, everything else, every bit of it, didn't lose one thing because of those things. Now, a lot of modern day preachers and Christians will just tell you, well, you know, you can get anything back that the devil stole from you. Well, let me ask something. When he steal it, was you lost?
Yeah.
Most of what was stolen from us was when we were lost and going to hell. We weren't the children of God. God had no claim on us, and we had no claim on God.
Right, come on.
And God, it wasn't in his plan for us to lose those things. That was our plan. That was our doing. You know, if you ruined your marriage while you was lost, you probably ain't going to get it back. Help me.
Come on.
You know, if you ruined your children while you was lost, you wasn't saved, now they're grown, you may not get your children back. You know, if you ruined your health when you were lost with sinful living, God may not see fit to give you that health back. And then after you got saved, you got out of the will of God maybe, and you lost some things. We all have. Because of our sinful thinking, our fleshly living. And so God takes things from us. He allows the devil. And by the way, the devil don't always do it. Sometimes God does it.
Come on now. Yeah.
And what the devil does, God allows him now because we're children of God. We've been and the devil's got to get permission now. Before we was lost, he didn't have to get nobody's permission. We belong to him. You may not get all that back. Then after you get saved, you get out of the will of God like David did. And God chastens you and you lose things.
Right.
You lose friendships. You lose families. You lose health. And then you seek God. And you encourage yourself in the Lord. But just because David did that don't mean you're going to get what David got. Then you got to search the scriptures.
Amen.
Then you got to live right. Wait on the Lord. And it may be he give you some of that back. But on the other hand, he may look at you and say, no, I'm not giving you that back. You knew what you was doing when you did it. You're a child of mine. I tried to tell you. Now I'm not giving that back to you. Or he may say, it wasn't good for you in the first place.
Amen.
You don't need that. I didn't give that to you. Or he may say, I gave it to you and you abused it. I'm not giving it back to you. I'd like to say everything the devil stole from me I could have back. I really would. I'd like to say that. Wouldn't you like to say that?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. I'd really like to have back everything the old devil stole from me and the world stole from me since I've been saved.
Amen.
Come on, help me.
Amen.
But even if I don't, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. And I'm going to seek the Lord. And I'm going to follow his orders, whatever he says. And then, and I don't have a whole lot of time, but I want to tell you this. Apply it to us. Sin kills.
Yes, it does.
Sin destroys things. Is it true? It kills people and it kills other things too. It kills relationships. It kills joy. It kills happiness. It kills health. It kills wealth. If you take, if you're saved and going to heaven and you take, I used to know a man, I loved him dead. He had one eyeball because he's such a good carpenter. Yeah, he's a great carpenter. He had one eyeball and a nail had flew one time and popped his eyeball, so he had a glass eye. But he was a great carpenter. He was a wonderful man. He couldn't talk plain. He had a hair lip, couldn't talk plain. But I loved that man. He come to my church, and I loved him to death. And he loved the Lord. He loved his family. But you know what he got? He got on poker machines. Poker machines. And 2 or 3 times, he'd come to church wanting the church to pay his power bill or his rent or something. And I'd say, brother, you get a, and he got a disability check and worked. I said, you're bringing in $2,000 a month. Why are you asking us to pay your power bill? He lived in government subsidized apartment. He said, well, I just run out of money. Well, then one day I stopped and got gas over on Slough Street, and they used to have a poker den in the back of that thing. You remember that? Yeah, you remember that. And I went back there. I ain't going to call his name because we're on the internet. And I said, brother, what are you doing in here? He stunk. He literally stunk. He hadn't taken a bath or shaved in 3 days, and it was the first of the month, and he was putting his last dollar in that poker machine. He cashed his checks and went straight there and spent every dime. And he couldn't understand why every month he came up short. And it was the devil fighting him. I said, it ain't the devil fighting you. It's you fighting you. Now, why would God give that man all that money back? And he didn't. I saw him not long ago. He's as poor as a proverbial church mouse. He lives with his daughter. I don't know if he ever got over that addiction or not. He's a wonderful man. I hope he did. But I'm telling you, you can't get everything back.
Right. Yeah.
If you could, then the Pentecostal people would be right. Here's what they say. Yeah. Y'all Baptists believe you can live any old way you want to and still be saved. That's exactly what they say. Y'all, that easy believism, that once saved, always saved, and y'all believe that, so most of you live worldly as you can. And I say, no, real Baptists don't believe that.
Amen.
Now, we don't believe God will take our salvation, but we believe God will take his hand off of us. We believe God will chasten us. We believe God, as a matter of fact, according to the book of Acts and 1 Corinthians, God will turn you over to the devil.
Yes, will.
And let the devil do the whipping. And you ain't getting that back. God didn't take that away from you. You did. And I thank God he does give things back. When we get right with God, he gives us our joy back. He gives us happiness back. He gives us peace back. He gives us glory back. He gives us holiness back. He gives us, hey, we never lost our eternal life, but he gives us that eternal hope of a treasure in heaven instead of down here. And you may not ever get back what you lost because of sin as a saint, but in the end you still win. You say, preacher, you're scaring me. I hope I am. I hope I'm scaring you. You see, David, God gave this back to him. You know why? Because the next step David's going to take is to go back home. And I'm afraid if God gave some things back to some Baptists, they wouldn't go back home. They'd go back like the hog to the waller and the dog to the vomit. Amen?
Come on, bro. Yeah.
Now, God's gracious. He's long-suffering. He's good. He's merciful. Thank God he is. He's promised to supply our every need from his riches in glory. He's promised us riches untold in heaven. But don't think you can just live any old way you want to.
Preach, brother.
Don't think you can just go out here. Hey, there's people tonight sitting around with a Budweiser in their hand and a party, a Super Bowl party, Baptist deacons and Baptist church members, and they're out there and they think, boy, I got it made, and I got some of the world, and I got some of heaven too. I'm going to be all right. And months from now, they're going to wonder why they're broke. They're going to wonder why they don't get their prayers answered. And then when they find out, they're going to blame it on the devil. And they're going to say, I want back what the devil stole from me. Well, the devil didn't steal that, you did.
Right.
Now, this is his job, to kill and destroy. Let me give you one more verse and we'll quit. Joel 2:25. I just hate to hear people twist the scripture in order for a big offering. It just makes me sick. Amen.
Yeah.
Just makes me sick. Joel 2:25. Turn there if you will, and I'll give you a second to find it, and I want you to mark it. Now, Joel, God's talking to Joel, the prophet, about Israel. He's talking to Israel, okay? Joel was Israel's prophet, not ours. Israel had been in and out of the will of God. God had chastened them and chastened them and chastened them. You know the story. But then finally through Joel, God gives it, he reminds them in verse 25. He said, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my army, which I sent among you. He said, I whipped you. I whipped you. I sent my army against you. The palmer worm, the canker, the locust. They destroyed everything you had. But look at verse 26. And ye shall eat in plenty. And be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God. That hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. And I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Now that's in the, that's the millennial reign of Christ. That's when Jesus comes back and restores Israel to all its glory. We can't claim that all. Look, there's some things in the Bible, you just can't claim them. There's some for the Gentile, there's some for the Jew. There's some for Israel, there's some for other nations. And you got to know how to rightly divide the word of truth. Now you just go ahead and throw your Bible open and read a verse and you might be happy with the verse you get. I know those preachers on TV are.
Yeah.
And they pass those big old buckets. But there's coming a day to where everything will be restored to us. But this ain't heaven. And I hate to see people get misled and hurt because some crooked preacher has given them a promise that's meant for the new heaven or the new earth or the millennial reign of Jesus Christ when he comes back to rule for 1,000 years. The lion will lie down with the lamb then. A little kid can play with a serpent or something then. But that's not now. And one day when all this is over, when we went through our lives as dumb as we are most of the time, God's had so much pity on us. And we do things we ought not do stupidly or out of pride or whatever. And we do these things, Sister Mary. And God chastens us. And then we repent and we seek Him and we encourage ourselves in the Lord. And He restores us. He lifts us back up, puts us back on the right path. It doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be the same way we were when we fell down. But one day, the trumpet's going to sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise, and then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in there. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's when everything will be made right. This is not heaven. Jesus said it, in this world you shall have tribulation. Don't be deceived. God loves you. God wants what's best for you. God takes care of you. And when you're wrong, He lets you know and He chastens you. And then when you get right with God, He blesses you and rewards you. But you look, this is not a name it and claim it faith. We don't get everything we ask for. It's good we don't. Amen? And we don't need everything restored to us when we've lost it. Most of the time, we didn't need it in the first place. Amen? Now, he's talking about wives and children. Understand that and what they needed to survive. That ain't the same as what we're going through. Our battle is a spiritual battle. Wickedness in high places. And we get deceived every day by that spiritual, those spiritual things in high places. We get deceived and we get misled. And we fall into sin and we do things because of that wickedness that's influencing us, this old world and the things of this world. But God has promised never to leave us and never forsake us. But He's never promised you you're always going to be rich. He's never promised you you're always going to be well. He's never promised you you're always going to be at the top of the heap. And you might be at the top this week. And not next week. And never be at the top again and still be in the perfect will of God.
Amen.
These prosperity preachers make me sick. And there's some little ignorant parrot who calls himself a preacher, and he catches on to that, and then he makes it worse. And some little woman, like, she ain't here tonight, I can say this, Sister Mary goes down there to buy a little widow lady who barely does make a living, and goes down there and buy her special mattress for her poor old back, trying to get some sleep. She can't sleep on that board thing she's got. And go down there and order a special mattress, and the crook sees that she's a widow lady and nobody's there to take up for her, and she hadn't got the mattress yet, though she's paid for it. And she's right with God. And the devil did that, and the world did that. But there's coming a day, bless God, one day He's coming back with a sword, and that crowd that's doing that to her, they will pay. I call action now. I don't even know the guy's name. Y'all didn't know I used to rent pagers to the black guy that used to do action now, did you? When I sell beepers, I sold him some. That wasn't his name, though. No, that's his TV name. Those people on TV, that ain't their real names. Cloudy McLean, you don't really think that's his name. All of them have stage names. So I knew his real name. And I don't even know how I got on that. But anyway, I called, couldn't get an answer. I shot the guy an email. I told him it's the whole story. And he sent me a thing back. The title of it was Poor Widow Lady. And he finally got in touch with Sister Mary, and he told her, he said, I'm going to make contact with these people. Now, he may get results, he may not, but I'm going to tell you, one day there's going to be some results, guys. Oh, yeah. And she may not see it in this body. Maybe in her new body she sees it. But she's going to get what's coming to her.
Amen.
And we will too. In the end, listen to this, folks. We're going to judge the earth. The Bible says we're going to judge angels. We're going to be kings and priests. And we're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years with the Lord. And I hope he gives Sister Mary an iron rod, and she goes over on Highway 72 to that, I forget, it's S&S flea market or something. It's in a building over there.
Yeah.
And I hope she goes in there during the millennium with an iron rod and just cleans house like Jesus did at the temple that day.
Amen.
But I don't know if she'll ever even get her mattress. But I know one day we'll get what's coming to us. Amen. I'm just being your pastor, and I'm trying to warn you. Don't believe everything you hear.
Come on, brother.
You'll get out of faith. You'll get out of faith. You'll get disappointed because it didn't happen the way that famous TV. By the way, he's got everything he ever wanted. He owns a $300-something million jet. Yeah, he flies around him by himself. Well, we think he does. Here's the rest of us, this crowd down here. We're just glad to have a roof over our head. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, we're just glad to have an automobile to ride in that we don't have to push no more. I had many of them I had to push. Pop the clutch. Told you. I had an automatic. This ain't got nothing to do with my sermon. I'm just being funny. I had a 1961 Chevrolet one time, my first car. And you could tell he was going down the road because it had a hole in the back floorboard about that big rim. And it got to where it wouldn't crank. And, of course, it was the starter or the battery or something. I was too young to know. I was just 16. And so it was automatic. It was power glide. And somebody said, well, you can push automatic and crank it. I said, no, you can't. That's straight drive. He said, oh, no, you can do automatic. He said, you just got to get it up to 30 miles an hour. I said, well, I don't know nobody that pushed me 30 miles an hour. So I got one of my friends to get behind me. We was going down the highway. About 30 miles an hour, it come on, took off. We're just happy to have a car, amen? We're just happy to have a house. And the devil's took a lot of things from us, and God's blessed us and give us other things. And I'm glad he didn't give me some of that stuff back. He gave me something better. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he won't give you something. I'm just saying, don't you get discouraged because God doesn't give you back everything. You're probably better off if he doesn't. Look unto the Lord. He'll take care of you. He'll supply your needs. He hasn't failed you yet, has he?
No, never.
Amen? You failed him, though, ain't you? And he still supplies you. Amen. What you need to do is turn that TV off and go to church.
Amen.
Turn the TV off and go to church. Well, I'm through meddling. That's my sermon. Let's stand. Everybody stand. Father, thank you for your word.